CliffCentral.com.
All right, that's very nice. That's the way to start your day, right? It's called Summeron, Paris Madness. Nice. It's nice. You like it?
Good music video as well, I believe.
Nothing happens in the music video.
Nothing happens.
Nothing.
Are you still discovering this music with your random playlists?
Yeah, I love it.
It's a good especially way to discover new things.
So I got
yeah.
Apple TV, the latest version of Apple TV at home, and I just put that on while I'm busy doing other stuff around the house, and then I'll hear a good song every now and then. I mean, I hear a lot of shit songs, but every now and then you'll hear one good one and you'll go, add that to the playlist.
Very nice.
Yes.
Well, speaking of versions of Apple,
yes.
Apple has warned that old iPhones will stop working.
Oh, God.
This Sunday.
What?
Which yeah. ones? Which old ones?
Which one?
Okay, it's the...
But the long time.
iPhone 5.
Gee.
What is this?
I can't even remember how it looks.
Why don't they label these things? Things should have labels.
You can discover on your phone, Leah.
So
go to your settings.
iPhone 5 wasn't that long ago. They can't suddenly shut that one down.
It's happening.
They're still selling them around here. Listen, an iPhone 5 you can still get for...
It's got to do with the updating, though.
2,399 Rand.
2,000?
Yeah.
Oh.
Still expensive, if you ask me. I wonder what an iPhone 3 would go for now.
Oh, I have the 8 Plus.
You could get an iPhone 3GS. How's that? And it would cost you 1,199 Rand.
So look, the device will continue working, but you have to update it by the 3rd of November.
Oh, yeah.
Or several major apps will completely stop working.
Well,
the iPhone 5 was the last iPhone to be released under Steve Jobs' leadership.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're talking circa 2012.
Do you feel pressure to get the new iPhone?
See, I'm debating that now.
No, they're far too expensive.
They are too expensive. And if you buy them on a contract and you get like an upgrade, people don't understand this. All that it means is you're still paying the full price for the thing.
Yep.
Except you're paying it over, 20 months or whatever it might be. It's you're not saving a damn thing.
But it's full price and they're making some money out of you.
Correct.
But, I mean,
I still can't get over the fact that we all walk around with like 15 to 20,000 rands worth of device in our hands.
I know.
My first car was 30,000 rand.
Think, yeah.
To think about it like that.
It's really scary.
I didn't think of it.
So yes, if you do have an iPhone 5, you need to update your iOS to maintain very important things like accurate GPS location.
Yeah.
The actual App Store, iCloud, email, and web browsing will be affected.
Oh boy, that's everything.
So in other words, your phone will shut down.
It's all done. Your whole phone's a disaster.
You know, it really is Apple's world, and we all just live in it.
Yeah, we do what they say.
Let's just face that fact.
So to be clear, it needs to be the 10.3.4 update. Obviously, you need to back up and restore your device using a computer.
Well, we spoke about emojis a couple of weeks ago on the show, and I was laughing yesterday when Apple also announced their new set of emojis.
One of which you sent us, which is a woman on her knees in a very subservient position.
Yeah, so I was scouring the new emojis.
What do you think is going to... Yeah. This is going to revolutionize sexting now.
I love this. All right, so they've got a woman now on her knees.
Well, I try to reply with the aubergine emoji in front of the woman on her knees.
Yes,
that's it.
But the aubergine's facing the wrong way.
Yeah, you see, they've done that on purpose.
Still,
I need that thing. I need to be able to turn the aubergine or turn her.
Yes.
Yeah.
God damn it! These are the things that drive me crazy.
I checked the bananas the wrong way, the mealies the wrong way.
Oh, you really did investigation with this. You really wanted.
Leanne just wants to create blowjobs. It's all she cares about in the world. She just wants blowjobs all over the phone.
You wanted to be as crude as possible. Well, now with this, the new sets of emojis, they're showing interracial couples, gender-neutral characters, disability-themed emoji options,
right,
including a dog, a seeing eye dog, they describe them.
Yeah, of course.
So sure, okay. Characters in wheelchairs and characters with prosthetic limbs as well.
Oh, Oscar.
And then if you also...
Those would have been useful during the Oscar trial.
Mm.
Yeah.
That caught me off guard. And then just for the heck of it, they also have random things like waffles and butter and a sloth and a yawning smiley face.
Oh, a sloth. That's so cute.
If that will change your life in any way.
I'm still trying to inverse
that. If you're a boss, the sloth app will come in handy.
Yeah.
You'll be like, come on, you lazy mofos. Stop being a sloth.
I'm still trying to
Someone says, crazy to carry around such an expensive device and one look at it the wrong way and the screen cracks.
Yep.
That's from
Robin. Or the screensaver cracks. it doesn't crack, but the phone does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then you're screwed there. Do you want to talk about mentioning politically correct emojis? Here's something that's also going down that road.
Go on.
Just in time for Christmas, John Legend, who I think is like slowly overtaking Michael Bublé when it comes to being like the unofficial king of Christmas.
The crooner of crooners.
Is releasing a new song, reworked song just in time for Christmas.
What's the song?
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Oh, good. Because
but that one was labeled creepy at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold outside. Stay in here. I'll keep you warm. Sit on my lap.
Basically, it's very rapey, but I think it's a great song. I mean, the original. You got to listen to the first version
from 1944.
We broke it down once before, but it's worth looking at again, right?
You know, for an evening that started out so badly, it has definite possibilities.
Yeah, he means...
No, before you drink...
Pussibilities.
Yeah, and this is very 1940s. You have to remember that the 1940s, this is how men and women interacted.
Mm. And how they spoke, actually.
It's not like now. I love these people who try to invert their own experience and send it backwards in time to make other people who didn't live the way that you lived or had the ideas that you had fit the bill. It's just insane. And by the way, speaking of that, Anthony Medrow will be joining us just now, my co-host on Blind History.
Mm.
We'll talk to him about all the cool stuff that we've got going on in season 2 of Blind History, which I know we haven't discussed yet. You haven't met Anthony properly, so he's going to join us in a short while. I know he and I often talk about this too, because the mores and the norms and the way people interacted 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, barely recognizable to people born in 2000.
Mm.
Totally different universe. The way men and women speak to each other, the way that people used to treat children.
Oh, yeah.
Children were sent into mines.
Seen and not heard.
And workhouses. And I think a lot better than we have to put up with them today.
Adults would see their children once a day.
And that was enough.
Yeah.
I'd have children if I only had to see them once a day.
Hello, you, whatever your name is again.
Which one are you? Are you the first or the third?
No, Father. I'm the middle child.
Get out of my way. I've seen enough of you today. I must go and speak to your mother.
Oh, goodness.
Which one is your mother?
So,
all right, so listen, hang on. I want to... Got to hear how these people talk to each other.
You know, on second thought...
Yes?
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
So he keeps taking off her jacket and she keeps putting
it's
it
like
back
strip poker.
On. Yeah, it's kind of exciting. I mean, this is the way that this is called courtship in 1947.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I fall.
The neighbors might
But baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
Halves to be.
Oh, what's in this drink?
Oh, yeah. That's the line.
That's
Rehypnol.
That's what gets very Cosby.
That's it.
What's in this drink? And you just put on some records. I'll make sure that there's another drink for you. And the fire's roaring. And I mean, he's making it sound. Like a really bad idea to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Much better to stay here. And she's like, I don't really want to stay because you're creepy, but kind of, you make a good case.
Cat out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like stars right now.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind
sir.
If I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really.
See, like, mind if I move in closer?
Well, at least he asked.
Right, and then what's the use in hurting my pride? That's a very 40s thing, because, like, you're hurting my pride, woman. I shall have to slap you in the face.
Ooh! Ooh! Sorry, I sounded like a 40s woman there.
No, that's exactly that's what would have happened.
Oh, baby, don't hold out, baby. It's cold outside.
It's a very sweet song. You know, if you're going to be politically correct.
I really think there's nothing wrong with
really?
It.
Really?
Lien.
Good for.
I'm being serious. It's an innocent.
Good for John Legend.
Love song.
Yes, so, it is.
So, John Legend is singing it with Kelly Clarkson.
Oh.
And they had another artist, Natasha Rothwell, work on it as well.
I was going to say, why didn't you do that? Because you always do.
Yes.
And I still don't know the origins of it.
It doesn't matter. It's a long story.
So in the original, where the lyrics go along the lines of, say, what's in this drink? The answer is no. And yeah. I've got to get home.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson will now respond, what will my friends think? So instead of say what's in the string, what will my friends think?
They've sanitized it.
And in turn, John Legend will rejoice in that by saying, I think they should rejoice. See, so it's good that you are worried about what others will think and making responsible decisions.
And I wonder if the song had to be remade in 100 years' time again.
How more it will change.
Yeah.
Totally.
Please
2019.
Insert your robot arm into mine and we can be friends.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go in 20 years' time.
There's also the new line that John Legend will sing, your body, your choice.
Oh,
are you being serious?
Oh, the most unromantic line ever written.
Oh,
your body,
word.
Your choice.
I really, I would much prefer a man saying to me, I want to ravish you right now. I can't hold myself back.
But
then
no.
Your body, your choice.
If a guy says to you, your body,
his name's
your choice,
probably Neville.
Doesn't it turn you on? The guy goes, yeah, but Leanne, your body, your choice.
No, definitely
no?
not. I'm sorry. I get a direction from that.
Okay.
Look, we're only just reading the lyrics here because that's what they've released so far.
Well, Ulrich says, that guy is so horny to hit it, he doesn't even allow that girl to finish her sentence.
Let's wait. Maybe the melody will save it. Maybe your body will, your choice will be so slipped into it, it will just fit the song.
Oh, my word.
I don't know.
Let's see.
You'll be dancing to that this Christmas season.
Well, here's something nice. And this is from Hilton, who's commenting on Leanne's update on Apple that she just gave us. I'm so glad I'm not an Apple user. I want an S4 phone on Cliff Central. It does everything I want it to do with no fucking rules.
Oh, hello.
So far, I can't find a reason to replace it. Well, that's nice. I'm glad we gave you something worthwhile. Leanne, there's some dirty emojis.
What did I just see there?
Apparently, you can download like a pack of dirty emojis. Michael says... if you go online and you can look up like filthy emojis or whatever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you'll find a bunch of them.
Oh, I see a bit of oral sex going on in one.
Yeah, that is...
like a little yellow face sucking on a dick.
That's not even suggestive.
No,
that's very blatant.
That's what I meant when I said oral sex.
That's way better than the little eggplant and the woman on her knees. And yeah, just go and get that pack.
All take right, that.
Good. See, there's always room for this stuff.
Yeah.
Is there though?
I might not be very feminist, and certainly not in tune with the way of thinking in terms of
your body, your choice.
Yeah, you know. That type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I am quite impressed about is that British female MPs have signed an open letter to Meghan Markle, condemning outdated colonial undertones of press coverage. So 72 female MPs have written to the Duchess to express their solidarity with her in the face of outdated colonial undertones which appear against her and her family in the press.
What?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
What are these outdated colonial undertones? What does that even mean? Explain it to me. They didn't put like pictures of her on the front page with like a bone through her nose, did they?
Yeah, but they're...
Is that what they did?
The stories have been... in inverted commas, casting aspirations about her character.
Aspersions, Leah.
Oh, sorry.
Aspersions.
Yes, that's right.
Aspirations.
Really?
I did read it as aspersions, but it came out differently.
I know.
Without any good reason, as far as we can see.
Like, what did they say about her? Besides what they say about anyone in the tabloid press, they're all horrible about everybody, especially a princess. And especially an American princess. Really?
They're speaking specifically about the press coverage that was revealed on an ITV documentary.
Yeah.
The African Adventure.
Yeah, they've said since she spoke out then of the strain that press coverage is causing her, they've now stepped in. Both Harry and Meghan recently brought legal proceedings against British newspapers. So at the beginning of the month, Harry started legal action against the owners of The Sun and The Mirror for alleged phone hacking dating back to the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Meghan is suing The Mail of Sunday for publishing a private letter that she had sent her father.
Oh, right. But her father is such an embarrassing man. See,
but still, a private letter you've sent him?
No, I know. I think it's horrible. But he probably gave it to them.
Yeah, knowing.
See?
Knowing Thomas.
See? He gave it to her. See? Yeah. Gave it to her. Look, I think
the couple are actually on a 6-week break from royal duties at the moment.
This is crazy. You know what? People have a different set of standards. Like, they will joke. I heard Bill Maher the other day telling a joke about Melania Trump. Okay?
Yeah.
Melania Trump, he says, Donald Trump is stopped people in government from ordering the New York Times. He hates the New York Times. So even Melania was distressed. This is how the joke goes. He goes, even Melania was distressed because without the New York Times, what is she going to line her cage with?
Oh, goodness me.
I think that's funny. And I think teasing Meghan Markle is funny because she's just a person like everyone else on earth. But people will get upset about Meghan Markle and colonial aspersions and undertones, which sounds like absolute nonsense to me. But they won't get upset about Melania lining her cage with newspapers. You understand? This is a double standard. There is such hypocrisy in people taking offense on behalf of Meghan, but nobody standing up and going, oh, that's horrible, Bill. How can you joke like that about Melania?
You know, I'm still a little...
Am I wrong?
I hear what you're saying, and I'm still conflicted after watching this documentary that everyone was hyping up so much.
I watched it too, by the way, finally.
What did you think?
It's like, wah.
See,
wah, shame they're tired and they had to traipse around Africa doing poverty porn and taking pictures of themselves with
and it was their choice. I
mean, AIDS
see,
babies.
That's why I'm conflicted, because as well... Gareth, you even read out Wendy Williams's comment around this. It sounds very harsh, but Meghan knew what she was getting herself into. Did she understand fully the magnitude of what she was getting herself into? No. But you were already famous when you met Harry. And
listen,
look, it's very tough and people say shit about you and it's tough to deal with. But come on.
Right. I like these two people. I think they're nice people. I think Harry is trying to do his best to live up to his inheritance, which is that he has no choice in what he wants to be. Harry can't live like Sia Sangweni or like Leanne Moll or like me or like you. He can't. And maybe he just wants to. Maybe he wants to go and live in a cabin in the woods somewhere and never see anybody, but he can't. His life is already plotted out for him. He has no options, and that's got to be a horrible thing. I don't doubt that mm-hmm. takes the wind out of your sails. Even if you're royal and you have to dress up every now and then and you never have to worry about money and people will wave at you wherever you go. Some people think those things are great. I'll bet you Harry would swap it all for a cabin in the woods like that.
But he can't. Yeah.
He can't get out of it. Meghan, this girl marries Harry. Seems like there's true love there. It's beautiful. Everybody's happy about them on the wedding day. And then slowly after the wedding day, people become shits about it and they start being mean to Meghan. They start being mean to Harry. This is bound to happen. But the fact that we feel extra sorry for them. And by the way, it's quite it's a sympathetic documentary, right?
Which didn't come off all too sweet and sympathetic for me.
What did you feel?
You know, it ends off, so the entire documentary chronicles their tour here in Southern Africa, talks about what they're really dealing with, and they just are open about their emotions.
Like Harry was talking about his mental health.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't do that. And apparently William is pissed off about
this. I get why now William and the rest of the family could be pissed. Some might say they're being very conservative with
you're
it.
Not nah, on, no, you're not on Oprah Winfrey.
But
the reason that, listen, the only reason the royal family keeps surviving is you keep a little bit of mystery there. And you want to talk about colonial outdated stuff?
Mm-hmm.
How about monarchy? I mean, this is a point that's been made by Podge quite rightly on the list.
Oh, we have someone named Podge.
Yeah, Podge. He's got a cat for a profile picture.
How many times does he get hodgepodge?
I think it's a she.
Oh. Oh,
but anyway, Podge says,
sorry.
Monarchy is a pretty outdated colonial idea. That's true. So you can't then talk about Meghan and the way that the press treat her as being outdated if the whole institution she's married into is outdated. But the fact is, a little bit of mystery is what keeps it alive.
Look, the last scene for me just made me roll my eyes, where it was like, oh, it was all so tough for them. And then it's a scene of Meghan carrying Archie and Harry by her side, and they're walking down a corridor, and then the journalist in a voiceover says, and after such trying times in Southern Africa, they're off to holiday. Like, well, excuse me.
Right.
I have taxes and traffic and tough times to deal with. They just traveled for 10 days and then they're going on holiday. Come on. Well, anyway, talking about and referencing Melania, did anyone see Bless Their Souls?
The Halloween?
Yes.
Okay, I've got it in front of
what
me.
What do you got?
The president and the first lady hosted some kids at the White House.
Yes.
For Halloween, the kids were coming
outside
for trick or treat.
So these little kids all pitch up in their costumes and they're handing out candy from a basket.
Like Donald and Melania?
Donald and Melania. And this little minion, a person dressed as a minion, comes along.
And they just don't know what to do with the
They don't know what to do with the candy because obviously the minion's little hands are like by its side.
Hands,
right.
It's like T-Rex arms.
Okay, so Donald's got a little basket and then the minion comes. So what does Donald do?
Put it.
He just puts the candy on top of the kid's head.
And leaves it like balancing. And then Melania joins in and the candy falls off.
That's
it's
great.
Like,
what else are you going to do with it?
So the tweets were like, the one says, oh my fucking God. The other one says, even when passing out Halloween candy, Donald Trump is a complete dick.
Well,
guys, what was he meant
what were
to
you
do?
How can these people put candy on a child's head and just leave it there?
I wouldn't know what to do if a kid came up to me in a minion outfit.
It's only funny just because it's so blatant how awkward the first couple feels about this, because the president just looks at the kid, looks at the candy, looks at the kid, and then decides, let me just tap the candy on the head first so that the minion understands.
And then just leave it there,
just
like balancing.
People hate Donald Trump so much. His administration, administration just brought down and killed this rabid animal that was leading ISIS, right? Donald Trump's administration. He just pulled out of Syria and everyone was all over. I was included in that. I was like, oh, you can't leave the Kurds. And he pulled out of Syria and the next thing, he manages to kill the leader of ISIS. I'm like, well, okay, maybe he had a plan all along.
Mm.
You gotta give him credit. Mm. When Obama killed Osama bin Laden, when the Obama administration put into action a plan with Navy SEALs and air support, and like they went in and they killed Osama bin Laden. I was so happy for Barack Obama. I was so happy for America that they got this shithead and they shot him right in the face.
Newsreaders went, because
so
they had to say Obama and Osama in the same sentence.
I know, and they always used to mix them up anyway. I was so happy for them. And now this disgusting piece of human feces,
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
Baghdadi. This guy, they managed to kill this son of a bitch. He blew himself up. They chased him down a tunnel and he blew himself up with his three children. That's the kind of person we're dealing with.
Small children.
Not one person can find it in themselves in the mainstream media in America to just say congratulations to Donald Trump and his administration and to the brilliant U.S. military for doing this.
Well, I'll tell you what, congratulations to the dog that Donald Trump tweeted about, who was part of this situation.
Yes.
He tweeted, "We have declassified a picture of the wonderful dog, name not declassified, that did such a great job in capturing and killing the leader of ISIS."
Amazing.
And people were like, why does it have to be declassified, etc.? And an author and retired Army General, Mark Hertling, replied saying, it could be the name of the dog could be used to identify which units were involved in the raid.
Ah, I see. Okay.
So knowing the dog's name, you can determine the handler. Knowing the handler, you can determine the unit. Knowing the unit tells which Delta unit or units was part of the raid.
Right.
But it didn't stop Twitter users from joking about declassifying images of their own pets as well.
So people put up
people
their
just
pets.
Wanted to
just
show
just their own random things. Declassifying images of my dog, and it's a little dog sleeping on a couch.
That's beautiful.
And then one saying, not to be outdone, I am hereby declassifying this picture of Skippy and Cleo, who did such a great job of eating a slipper and falling asleep.
All right, but let's not take away from this dog's role in here. And again, the fact that President Donald Trump put out a picture of this dog is cute. It's a nice thing. Let's be happy about this. Let's give the guy a bit of credit for being, I think, the first president to tweet out a picture of a military hero dog. Okay? Is that too much to ask?
No, I'm totally with you. No. Totally
people
with you.
Just, there is this Trump derangement syndrome. Look it up. And people are deranged about Donald Trump. Anything he does is bad. And you even see some of the headlines. Like, I think it was the Washington Post said, Al-Baghdadi, a promising football player and great leader of ISIS.
Really?
Killed. Yeah. Not
what?
Go and look it up. I'm maybe paraphrasing, but go and look it up. Some of these headlines were unbelievable. It's like saying Osama bin Laden,
devoted family man,
and
head of ISIS,
and spiritual teacher, killed in house attack, housebreaking. That's it. It's just mad because they cannot give credit to the president of the United States because they hate him so much. Speaking of presidents of the United States, apparently Jimmy Carter is going to teach at Sunday school.
Ooh, yeah.
But okay. My God, just in time for Halloween, if you look
How
at a picture,
old is he now?
A million. He's Now, let me just put this in perspective. I'm going to go backwards in presidents from Trump, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Trump, Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter.
He's 95 years old, the 39th president of the United States.
And tell me...
How's he looking?
How's he looking, Sia?
Well, you know...
How's he looking?
You know when you sometimes encounter those old people who... As much as you may have sympathy towards them, or as much as you may love them, you're afraid to touch them because you think, oh, if I just grip your hand a little too tight, I think it will fall off.
It'll turn to dust.
I think Jimmy Carter, bless his heart, has reached that stage in his life. He looks very, very frail. Very bruised up. And most recently, he was seen campaigning and speaking about Habitat for Humanity, which he still supports to this day. He was seen out in public after he had fallen. So hence why he has a big old shiny.
I can't get
shiner.
Up.
He also looks like he's just in time for Halloween, and it looks like a truck drove over his face.
Yeah, early in October, he fell and he hit his head while he was getting ready for church. He required 14 stitches above his brow.
Yes.
Now, you know when you fall just in your 30s.
Yes.
When you fall in your 40s, yes. That recovery isn't the same. Now, multiply that or fast forward to 95.
Yeah.
I think just waking up is an obstacle enough.
You ain't producing new cells.
Yeah, so he's been committed
Don't go buying any green bananas,
yes.
Damon used to say.
He's been committed to the Maranatha Baptist Church. He's been going there for years.
That's great.
Just as someone attending. And so as of now, though, he's decided to be devoted even more by taking up, heading up the Sunday school there. So from leading the free world as the president.
Let me get Anthony's reaction here. What do you think of how Jimmy Carter's looking?
Wow, is it really him?
It's like a Halloween costume.
Did he get, really did he get beaten up?
Yeah, it's a Halloween costume.
He fell a couple of weeks ago.
I've fallen. Yes. I can't get up.
He's been recovering since, but the church put up on their Facebook page, "We are proud and relieved to announce President Carter has changed his mind and decided that he feels well enough to teach. Please join us to welcome him back. We will live stream for those who can't be with us." So as of this Sunday, November the 3rd, President Jimmy Carter will be heading up Sunday school.
Very good. One quick public service announcement before we get talking to Anthony this morning. Gugu, what time is your show tonight? Do you know? You talk in the microphone. You got a microphone in front of you.
Oh, does it work now?
Yeah, it works.
Ah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah. So it is at 8 p.m.
What channel?
BBC 174.
Lifetime.
174.
174.
BBC Lifestyle. Yeah. I've even recorded it at this point.
Okay, yes. So we're all going to see Gugu go on his first date, and maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't.
Maybe it doesn't, I don't know, man.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, you do know, but you can't tell us.
Yeah. Can't tell you right now.
Gugu's so bad at this, like, just telling the truth thing.
Yeah, and also being secretive and elusive.
Never days, Leanne.
No, but, you know, you also have to tease us. You know, you have to entice people to
you
watch.
Say, you never know. I might still be dating her. But no, you're crap at that.
You can't be talking smack about the show before you've even premiered on the episode, Gugu.
Look, just watch the show. Just watch the show.
Yeah, we'll watch it. Right. Thank you. There we go. Thank you.
I mean,
see what a bunch of lunatics I have to work with. How are you, Anthony?
Great, and you?
Good
to be here.
Very good. So how many episodes are we down? We did The Craze, which I loved. And by the way, Blind History, of course, is a series of podcasts that we put out, and they've got video now, and people are loving it. And I bumped into someone the other day who I didn't know them from a hole in the ground. They said to me, I've seen you on TV or radio for like 20 years or any of that stuff. I love Blind History. This girl, just out of the blue, she says this to me. And that makes me so happy because this is the stuff I love. I know you love it too.
Yeah, it's been such a fun journey.
It has.
I don't even know how many we've done.
Season has been like, what, 13 episodes, I think?
Yeah,
week was episode 7.
So we've still got a few to go.
Yeah, and we've got some interesting characters coming up.
Definitely. I want you to hear this quickly. This just came up. So we did The Craze this week, which I knew nothing about The Craze until you told me about them. And then I did some research and we did the episode. And since then, I mean, I've been watching movies. They've made movies about these guys. It's phenomenal. So here's a little email that came through now. This is from Sarah. She says, "A few years ago, my dad casually remarked that he'd gone to one of the Cray twins' house parties back in the day."
Well, that must have been incredible.
"Most badass thing my father has ever said. Your recent Blind History installment on the Cray twins was excellent. I'm loving the new series." Isn't that awesome?
That is incredible. Yeah. That's really great.
Give us some detail.
Very cool.
Dig around. Ask your dad what happened.
But you know, the big thing is that most of these who we go into, they don't give a shit. And people are so politically correct now. Mm-hmm. And that's why I enjoy listening to the show, this show, because you guys don't give a shit.
No, well,
truth be told.
No, we've sort of earned the right to do that because we started this.
But anyway, but ultimately that's... And if you look at these guys, I mean, the Crays.
Lunatics.
Absolutely.
So it's crazy.
Right, let me give you... Let's back up and just introduce everything here properly for you because you probably don't know what the hell's going on. So Anthony Medera and I got together and we had a meeting, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, at our factory, yeah.
Yeah, I flew down to Cape Town and I went to see them. You had wanted to get involved with us from the beginning, and everybody had said to you, "No, no, no, you can't." And eventually, you just said, "Screw that! You're the MD of Taylor Blinds and Shutters." By the way, we got very nice new blinds up in the studio, which
good, and they're working well. I see
beautifully, very, very well, and they look great, and they work, and they're electronic. So I don't even I just press a button, and the thing goes up and down. But we didn't want to do a series on blinds, right? So we sat around the table and we were talking, and Anthony said to me, he just loves history. He loves when I talked about stuff on the show to do with history. And I said to him, oh, really? You're into that as well? And we started talking before we even had launched into a meeting properly, and everyone else around the table is talking business and we have to do this and budgets and what are we going to do? And Anthony and I are just talking history the whole time. And it suddenly dawned on me that, like, wouldn't it be fun? Some of my favorite podcasts are the ones where two people who just love a subject get together and they start talking about it. And you find out interesting little anecdotes. You laugh. You get pulled into a story. I suddenly thought, well, here's a guy who loves history as much as I do. He knows as much as I do. And the two of us could sit and talk about interesting people from history for hours. Let's try and do this. Mm-hmm. Why not put this together? So he said, yeah, let's do it. Now, how the hell did you get to a point where you felt you could actually put money behind this? Because to produce a series like this meant you flying up here. It means us both doing research. And you're a busy man. You have things to do. You're attending board meetings and you're busy worrying about marketing and manufacturing and production and clients and all kinds of things. How did you justify this in your own head before you even came here to record the first episode?
So I think there's just so much clutter on with trying to get your product to market. And also, if we have to look how public relations and what you get out of it, but nothing really, it's not innovative. It doesn't give us the edge. So I always try and find an edge. And it's a risk. I mean, innovation is a big risk. Something might not work. And so that's definitely something different. And wow, has it worked?
Has it worked?
So I'm not scared. I'm not scared of taking risks because, I mean, that's the only way we're going to go forward.
All right, but explain to me, because a lot of people that I try to explain podcasting to, they don't always get it. And frankly, I also thought this is a risk from our point of view because we want to deliver some value. And we're not, by the way, we're not having this as a big marketing spiel now. This is something we haven't even spoken about, you and I. Mm. But how has it actually worked in terms of business? Because you could get two people together and they could record a podcast and it might have no commercial value at all.
So you know, when you find out who's listening to your show, I had no idea. So people in our industry, some seriously big players in our industry are listen to the show and then they make a connection. Wow. And you know, I've known them from business over the years and it just gives you that extra edge. That's just behind the scenes, so to speak. But subsequent to that, the inquiries we're getting, it's Cliff Central related.
Really?
So you definitely, and you know, the big thing is what I really believe, and I know myself as a consumer, I don't like things like to be shoved down my throat. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to hear, buy this, buy that, do this, yeah. Do that. We're intelligent enough to know, you know, look, when I'm ready, I'll call it to action. But so it should be subtle. And if I'm speaking on a podcast in history, you know, I'm hoping that people can see that, you know, I'm switched on and I know, you know, if at least I sort of sounds like I know what I'm doing. So yeah. Hopefully I can make a good product.
Sure.
So, you know, and they put that together and we see results from
There's like a connection. And I suppose also people, you know, they really appreciate the fact that you're doing interesting stuff because advertising is finished. And if you're not doing advertising, you're doing content. And the way to create content that matters is to just do it as authentically as you can. And when people are ready to buy whatever it is that you're selling, they'll connect you with the stuff that you made for them, the content that you helped create for them. And they'll be much warmer to you and you'll be top of mind and they'll want to do the business with you above everyone else.
Correct. And that's why it was worth the risk.
Yeah, it creates dimension for you as a person and in your role. Which is normally seen as being unidirectional. It shows that you're an interesting person as well.
All right, but that's the marketing spiel because I did need to explain this. A lot of people ask me, and it's easier if it comes from you because you're the one who's experiencing it.
And we've had so much fun. I mean,
oh well, listen,
that's incredible.
I love these recordings. Greg says, "Blind History is the shit, guys. Well done."
So great.
And then Joe has just said, I'm getting a quote from Taylor Blinds all because of your history.
There we go. Yeah. So that's exact ROI proof.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I mean, when we choose...
So where do you get that instant, you know...
You don't get that from an ad.
No ways.
I mean, you guys have been advertising for years. Okay, so how do we choose? Because people always ask me, how do you choose who you're going to cover? Because it can be very difficult to... You got to show a little bit of interest in areas that aren't always your most... Like, for example, we did an Albert Einstein episode. Mm. And neither you nor I was... We weren't particularly well-versed on Einstein. We had to spend quite a lot of time researching him. It ended up he's quite an interesting dude.
Yeah. I mean,
apart from his scientific brain, he led this really interesting life, and he was quite political, and his relationships with women were terrible.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
They were. So he was actually quite an operator.
Yeah. Smooth operator.
And the other one that we struggled with was Confucius, because there's so little actual information about the guy's life. So there are all these sayings that people put on fridge magnets and everything. But really, not a lot was known about his actual life.
And tough to connect with it. It was quite tough to connect with that one.
And then there's stuff that's obvious, like you love Julius Caesar. Yes. He was one of the first episodes we did.
Correct.
Because you actually believe you're a reincarnated Julius Caesar.
Correct, yeah, I am, yeah.
Oh. See?
So Julius Caesar and Lucky Luciano.
Told you he was a lunatic. Yeah.
The two Italians. The mafia boss.
What an amazing combination.
It's strange that I'm not Italian the third time around. But they both were murdered, so I'm not sure.
How did you get interested in history? Did you have one good teacher? Because that's what happened to me. I had one amazing teacher in primary school, and that set me off. Although I was probably interested before then.
Yeah, I wasn't at school. Never, you know. Lenin was born in this date. He did X, Y, and Z, and he died in this. You know, often histories in school is portrayed like that.
It's horrible.
So I was very interested in actually my love of Roman history came from asterix and obliques. It's the strangest thing, but that's the truth.
I loved asterix as well.
But when you start looking at these characters, I mean, Alexander the Great. So I just found it so incredible. I enjoy reading. Mm-hmm. And if you want to read something wild, you read Alexander the Great. I don't think there's a novel that can compare to the pace of this guy's life. And so I just started reading, and then I started wanting more. Mm-hmm. So I wanted, you know, Queen Elizabeth the First.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really know about her. And then I found out, wow, what an incredible monarch. And you just want more and more. And the sad thing is obviously there's a rise and fall. Mm. You know, you don't always want to see the other side of it, but that's also very much life. But so that's where I got it from. I didn't get it from school.
And have you noticed how many of these great people from history, how much of it leads to movies, TV series? I mean, at the moment, I'm watching a series about Catherine the Great of Russia. Okay, I think it's only, there are four episodes that are out now. And she was a phenomenal person. Mm. I mean, we haven't covered her yet. We might still get to her. But there's no shortage of material, and these lives are just insane. The assassination attempts these people managed to survive, the armies they led, the battles they won, the love stories tangled in there. Mm. History is so rich.
You know, when somebody dusted Caligula's mantelpiece and knocked over one of his ornaments, he was killed. You know, now we have to go to the CCMA. Wow. So,
you know, simpler times solving problems,
exactly.
Anthony. Oh, CCMA and paperwork.
Someone dusted his mantelpiece and they knocked over an ornament.
Oops.
He had them killed. Jesus.
So it just shows you, it's just, we're living in a different era. And, you know, political correctness.
Oh, just.
Wow.
Ruined everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's something interesting. This is from, again, unsolicited, from Candace. She says, I work in the media advertising and marketing industry, and I absolutely love this fresh approach to content and getting messages across. Not the impressions and clicks and BRC, RAMs and TAMs and all this crap. She says, it's so refreshing. Yeah.
That's incredible. That's just...
Thanks. I mean, what can we say but thanks? I don't even have Windows, and I'm getting a quote from Taylor Blind. That's from Carl.
They might be from the property next door in the Reeded house.
Oh, yes.
Jean says, I hated history. Listening to an unenthusiastic teacher killed my soul, but I'm able to listen to you two going back and forth, putting together an informative and interesting story. I love doing drawings of the characters while you chat to me to help me learn. Thank you so much. Mm. I think this is Jean who's been sending us those.
Yeah, those drawings are, yeah,
they're like
amazing.
Study notes. Yes. They're phenomenal.
They're incredible.
You know, for him to take the time out of his day to draw those pictures, that, again, is like such a compliment to, first of all, the stories themselves, because they are so gripping. And second of all, to the fact that we can connect with him for, 15 minutes of his day? Mm. It's amazing. So thank you.
And you don't really know how it's going to pan out. You know, and will people take to this type of thing?
Mm.
I think the good thing about it is 15 minutes, you know, because it needs to be short or shortish. Because the attention span, people are very busy. So in the traffic, you know, you can sit in the traffic and listen to it or whatever it might be. So that's, and then you learn something. That's the new generation. That's how we're living now.
Well, some of them we can't help going over 15 minutes. Like Napoleon was a long episode. And I just got this message now from someone who listened to that. Riet, she says, love the Napoleon episode. I missed the reference to his second wife. We didn't even get a chance to talk about her. Marie-Louise, Duchess of Parma, and her role in his life. She was an extremely smart and strategic woman. Did you see, she could be an episode on her own.
That's correct. Funny enough, in history, if we look at the big generals in history and the emperors, the women were actually ruling behind the scenes. It's incredible. And I found it now in obviously, I don't want to say what's up next, but it's incredible that the role they played in the emperors of Rome.
Rome was, there was a big matriarchy going on there.
Very,
and,
very,
and those women influence. Were those women were some, they were some really strategic and dangerous.
If strategic meant they'd poison somebody and just, yeah, that's how you eliminate them.
They seem to either be not featured at all, just not a feature, and just the typical woman from that era. Or they were completely stark raving mad and very powerful.
Well, they would do whatever it took to get their husbands or sons onto a throne or into a position of power. And that meant that all morals, all ethics, be damned. They would do anything it took. They would sleep with whoever it took. They'd poison whoever it took. They would murder. They would suffocate with pillows. They would do terrible, terrible
snake
things.
Snake bites.
Really bad. I mean, if you look at women like Cleopatra, I mean, her whole thing was just trying to preserve Egypt by sleeping with whoever was the most important man she could find.
See, I don't feel bad for like blocking people on social media now. At least I didn't.
Imagine Cleopatra on social media.
Jeez, Cleopatra on social media. She'd be a porn star. Yeah. That's what she'd be. That's amazing. Do you often think that the best heaven for people like you and me, and anyone else, because there are lots of us who love history, the best heaven for us would be a time machine.
Agreed.
Where you could get in that thing, and I fantasize about this stuff when I go to sleep at night. This is what my dreams consist of. I get into this machine in my mind, and I can travel back and forward in time, and I can actually watch without interrupting or involving myself at all. I can watch what happened, and I can see the people, and I can actually hear the dialogue. Like I'm in this never-ending movie.
But that's why it's so important for us to keep the objects. And it's horrible to see when they destroy history, museums.
Buildings.
It's horrible when you see that, because that is our only real link.
Yeah.
And you know, if they were going to, if they've developed a time machine, that people say, well, one day they're going to do it, but then we would have seen people from the future. So clearly they haven't, they haven't developed it yet.
That is such a trippy thought.
Yeah, it's true though.
Yeah, but the thing, that's why we got to look after what we have.
I agree. I mean, I collect stuff like furiously. I collect old books and coins and I've got a Neolithic arrowhead and stupid stuff like that, because I feel almost like I've got to look after this stuff. I don't know who for. I mean, I don't have a plan, but I'm collecting it like a madman. And when I see things like the Egyptian Museum, during that Tahrir Square,
that was terrible.
Protest, and people are going into the museum and looting it, and the Taliban who destroyed those Buddhas of Bamiyan, and you see all of this stuff, and you think, for God's sake, can you human beings not just behave yourself enough to understand that this is part of the world's heritage?
Mm. It's identity.
I mean, they're discovering these pyramids in the Guatemalan jungle now that they didn't know existed. These huge, sprawling Mayan cities that we've been able to identify now by Google Earth, of all things, that we didn't even know were there, that have been undiscovered for hundreds of years. That's phenomenal.
Well, that's what technology gives us. But you know, the thing is, a lot of people think, okay, so 2,000 years ago, sparsely populated, lots of animals around, but there was overpopulation in the cities. They were living on top of each other.
Totally.
And the fall of the Roman Empire wasn't so much a Commodus. It was more destroyed by plague,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they were, because all the men were killed.
And
so
they said the lead piping, which lead they used piping. For plumbing, and that eventually it was like a slow lead poisoning.
Correct, that's right.
It was part of it, yeah.
Even Elizabeth the First, I mean, she basically, with the powder she put on the face, that's what basically what killed her in the end.
Yeah, she used like this lead.
Mm.
Yeah, that was the
salt.
Makeup. That's how to...
Like to make the paint they use on Chinese toys.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's what she used to paint her face with, the poor woman.
So they struggled. I mean, it wasn't a bed of roses.
Well, I always say, and I said this the other day, I repeat myself endlessly about how good it is to be alive now. Because honestly, humans had terrible lives. Even if you were the king in ancient Greece, you know, you were the most important guy there. You're an emperor in ancient Rome. There wasn't electricity. There wasn't medical care. They would leech you, or they'd bleed you, or they'd do some horrible thing to you that would probably make you worse. It didn't make you better.
Now you live to 30, 35.
35, you're an old man.
Yeah.
35? Oh, wow, you've got a 35-year-old in your family? Mine were all
and
dead at 18.
35-year-old women had about 11 children.
They had a lot of children.
Yeah, and those women had to just push out children nonstop. And most of the women who had children at an advanced age would die in childbirth.
Yeah. Mm.
Horrible stuff.
But you're one of your most popular figures in history, Victoria, she spent most of her time pregnant.
She was being queen
mourning
in between while she was pregnant.
It was either something going in her vagina or coming out all the time.
Yeah.
Very important. The history of Queen Victoria's vagina. All right, if I watch a historical drama, I adore looking up the characters. The Greeks, the Romans, the English kings and queens. I love it. That's from Ruth. Yeah, Ruth.
I agree, 100%. That's exactly me too.
And then Leighton says, I wish the episodes were longer, but I get why they're short form. I've been listening to podcasts and watching YouTube documentaries and historical characters since before Blind History. And even when you guys cover someone I've gone over before, I still usually learn something new in that 15 minutes. It's great. Well done, guys. Looking forward to the next episode and future seasons. Thank you. Jay says, the fact that it only takes one person to get the love of history to flourish says a lot. 500 people could not get me interested in maths. All it took was my grandfather's World War II stories of his travels to Sierra Leone and the fact that the reason I'm South African is because he was stationed in Durban. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
See, also, I think there's an element of history that's personal.
For me, in the same instance, it was my grandfather who was involved in mining history in South Africa and De Beers and starting off in Welkom and where Goldreef City is currently. He was chief engineer of those mines.
And we drive these roads that he probably used to drive on a wagon.
Well, he was born in 1915.
Sure.
Okay, died at 102.
That's
amazing. Sure, that's incredible.
But you see, again, like you could do an episode on Cecil John Rhodes or on Barney Bonatto. And he would have known these people.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. You know, that funny enough, I thought they were ox wagons in that time. But remember, we did Pixley.
Yeah, Pixley Kaisakaseme.
Yeah, and he had a DIY, and so I thought it was an ox wagon.
He was arrested for driving under the influence.
Yeah, he was driving, but he crashed
one of the new cars.
One of the new cars in Johannesburg.
Very new car.
Oh dear!
All right,
they didn't even have tests on that yet. They didn't know that you could crash a car if you had been drinking.
Well,
but the stories that you must have heard from 1915.
Amazing, and he wrote a memoir. I should actually bring it to you guys to have a look at.
So what do you know about your own history?
So from my dad's side, we know quite a bit. We've got coat of arms. I've actually found out a bit since I saw yours. German.
Yes.
Where
in Germany?
Nuremberg. Yeah.
Okay.
Nuremberg. And my dad's also got some interesting stories. His father was in the war, Second World War. My dad was born in 1937, and
was he a Nazi? Because the Germans were, whether they wanted to be or not.
Well, I mean, it's my dad's brother got a Reichmark from from Adolf Hitler. Seriously, that's
Heiliger Gott.
What is that? Is it a tattoo?
It's a little coin with a Reichmark. I see what you mean, a mark.
But it's not with you. You don't know a Reichmark.
And that's just how he asked someone out on a date.
Oh.
Anyway, but he was killed on horseback. My dad's dad in the war. And they grew up in the war. He said it was hectic. They only ate potatoes.
Well, I mean, afterwards there was just terrible starvation, hunger, and predation. Mm. The Germans who managed to survive the war, remember, most of the men were wiped out. So it was young boys and women, and the women had been through hell, and they'd be scrounging around for things to feed their kids.
Yeah, my dad's mom was scary.
Just like a tough woman.
Oh.
Real German
matriarch.
Yeah,
thank God she died before I was born.
Did he tell you she was a real
He was so scared of her.
Real piece of work, that woman.
She ripped the potatoes out of the ground.
What was her name? Brunhilde.
And she looked like my dad as well. So
she looked like a man, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm trying to be delicate, yeah.
I'm seeing right through that.
That's your grandmother. All right.
Yeah, so that's true. I didn't put that together. It is my grandmother. But you know the old stories of our family. They used to walk to school in the snow.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it was their lives sounded like a complete misery. Yeah.
It was like with my grandfather, it was the Rhodesian stuff and what we call the Wenwees.
Yes.
When we were in Rhodesia.
The Wenwees.
I love it. Everyone's got a personal history, though. And when you link up your own family to what was going on in the world that they lived in, suddenly you understand a whole bunch about why, you know, your dad might have been grumpy, or why your great-grandmother was spendthrift.
Tight-fisted. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You suddenly realize, like, these are the ways that people learn the habits that they learn. God, I love history. Never get bored, right? All right, so we've got a couple of episodes to do today, and there's still a few on the way in season two, and we've got plans for what's going to come next, but we're still busy thinking about what exactly to do. If you have suggestions, obviously, you can let us know. And we have actually done a couple of episodes based on suggestions from people who listen to the series, so we would love to hear from you. Just email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. I'll pass it on to Anthony as well, and maybe we can get some ideas going for what we could do next. You know, there's some people who want us to do these things live. Maybe that's something we could do. We put an event together and people can come through. And maybe get experts, other people who know the stories really well. Who knows? We could be doing anything about this. And I really appreciate all the support we've had for Blind History. Anthony, you're terrific at it. And he's getting, like, better than me at it.
Thank you.
The last episode on the craze.
Done, guys. I think it's such a great series, really.
It's fantastic.
If that's how it was given to me at school, I probably would have paid more attention.
Yeah. I mean, I think
it was more the school environment that put you off.
But you said to me that's one thing you wanted to achieve too, is to make history exciting.
Exactly.
Which I love.
And it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Mm. You know, it's not embellished. Although some of the guys, there's always a hidden agenda, but the people writing the books.
Quite a bit of propaganda. Of this stuff. All right. Well, that's all we got time for this morning. We will see you tomorrow at 6:00. Anthony and I will meet you on the next episode of Blind History. And otherwise, get ready for Thursday. My God, it's already Thursday tomorrow. And a new month. CliffCentral.com.